This morning's reading is chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 1 to 10. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Going to read a little bit from John 6 that have relevance as we go through the message as well. At this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Well, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Four of our series on forgiveness. We've got one more week after this, and then we can move on to something else. But I hope that you found these weeks challenging, but also helpful. For forgiveness is one of those things that's central to our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But it's often one of the hardest to actually accept and then apply to our lives. We've looked at the gift of forgiveness, which is available for each one of us. A gift with no strings or conditions, except the need to recognise our need of God and an ongoing relationship with him, and the hope that that brings as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. God's forgiveness brings healing and wholeness to each of us. But often, this is as far as we get, and we forget to share what we've experienced with others and to apply that lesson into our own lives. Last week, we thought about the need to forgive others for their actions or inactions towards us, not for their sake, but for ours. Without forgiving others, we continue to find ourselves bound by the things of the past and allow that other person to still have control of our lives. This week, I want us to take one step closer to home. You might be someone who says to me, "Christine, this is all well and good, but I've done things, or perhaps not done things, that I can never forgive myself for." Well, I'm going to share with you again the quote I used in the first week. I think that if God forgives us, we must forgive ourselves. Otherwise, it's almost like setting ourselves up as a higher tribunal than Him. If we say yes to God's gift of forgiveness, we need to then let Him help us see areas where we need to forgive ourselves in order to be truly free from the bonds of shame and guilt that can keep us from living as the person He wants and created us to be. Jesus' invitation to us, as it was to His disciples, was to walk in a new way, moving forward with Him. He didn't say, although people chose to respond that way to Him, but He didn't say, "Look back over your shoulder, go back and return to where you've been." Instead, He says, "Come." We can't change our past, but we can change our future. I want to share a story from Desmond Tutu that will perhaps get us thinking a little more on this topic. He says, "My father said he wanted to talk. I was exhausted. We were halfway home on the pilgrimage we made 6 times a year. We'd driven 10 hours that day to drop the children at their boarding school in Swaziland, and sleep beckoned. We would rest for a few hours before continuing the next day for another 15-hour drive back to our home. I told my father I was tired and had a headache. "We'll talk tomorrow in the morning," I said. Well, we headed to the relative's home half an hour away. The next morning, my niece came to wake us with the news. My father was dead. I was grief-stricken. I loved my father very much, and while his temper pained me greatly, there was so much about him that was loving, wise, and witty. And then there was the guilt. With his sudden death, I would never be able to hear what he wanted to say. Was there some great stone on his heart that he'd wanted to remove? Might he have wanted to apologise for the abuse he inflicted on my mother when I was a boy? I will never know. It's taken me many, many years to forgive myself for my insensitivity, for not honouring my father one last time with a few moments he wanted to share. Honestly, the guilt still stings. But we are called to forgive each other time and time again. It is the nature of being in relationship. It can be hard to forgive others, but often it's harder still to forgive ourselves. And yet the reason to forgive ourselves are the same as that of forgiving others. It is how we become free of the past. It's how we move on, heal, and grow. It is how we make meaning out of our suffering. Forgiving ourselves frees our energies to tell a new story of who we are. I guess we will each have stories similar to that of Bishop Tutu's. Some actions or inactions have great consequences, and some may just be small. But whatever it is, we each have things that we keep bringing up and beating ourselves over the head with. The what ifs or the if onlys. These things can be as harming and scarring, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, as the words and actions that others inflict on us. Last week we had a think about that, but often we find that forgiving our part in things the hardest to do. So I want to offer some words of encouragement before we dive into the readings. The author Roy Bennett puts it like this: "Perfectionism is the enemy of happiness. Embrace being perfectly imperfect." It's a big one to get your head around, but embrace being perfectly imperfect. We all do things wrong. Learn from your mistakes and forgive yourself. You will be happier. We make mistakes because we are imperfect. Learn from your mistakes, forgive yourself, and keep moving forward. And So you might be wondering from our two readings today what Jesus says about himself as the bread and what that might have to do with forgiveness. But we'll come back to that one. I want to have a look at John's letter first and also think a little bit about some of the Bible readings we've had over the last few weeks. John opens his letter with words of encouragement and hope. He's encountered the risen Jesus in person and attests to what he has experienced. Those he's writing to need to grasp what they've not seen firsthand. And in John's usual style, he doesn't hold much back, but he starts by contrasting dark and light, sin and truth in relationship to God. I mean, darkness and sin are not the things of God. They are what keeps us from living fully with him. And so reflecting on the last few weeks, I wonder what would have happened if Lazarus had stayed in the tomb, in the darkness he found himself in. What would have happened if the son had stayed with the pigs and not returned home? And if the unforgiving servant had actually forgiven the debt of the one who owed him? We'd be hearing very different stories, or perhaps not hearing those stories at all. But these are the types of decision that each of us have to make. Do we want to be released from the shame and guilt of our past and to stay stuck in the places that we find ourselves in because of our actions or inactions? Our choices, even if unconscious ones, can lead us into self-condemnation and unforgiveness. Those things that keep us separated, keep us in the dark once we've accepted God's gift of forgiveness through Jesus. John reminds us that we will still sin, but when we ignore our sin, that's just as bad. God will make us right when we acknowledge it and leave it with him. We don't need to take it back. Just as with forgiving others, we have to make the choice to leave it, to forgive ourselves as much as others. It may take many times, just as we heard last week, we forgive 70 times 7. The time it comes up, we need to confess it again and take it to God. Little things will come up and poke us and draw our attention to those things that we hold against ourselves. But each time we must consciously make the choice to forgive ourselves, not to condemn us. Take those things to God and ask him to help you make amends where needed or where possible. To see that these things are in the past and to help you look to the future. A new future to be who he made you to be. Ask God to help you walk in the light that is fellowship with others and more importantly with Jesus. The truth is that we all have things we're not proud of. We all have things that if someone were to come up and tap you on the shoulder and said, I know what you've done, we'd want to run a mile or find somewhere to hide or not admit that it was true. None of us is perfect, but we can be forgiven. We can choose to walk in the light of Jesus who heals us and brings new life. Friends, I want to encourage you to choose this life that we are offered. There is hope and a way to find freedom. I mean, God's been the same throughout history. King David knew that freedom that comes from forgiveness. There are many things that we're aware of that he could have recriminated himself for, but he knew and understood God's forgiveness. In Psalm 32, he writes, "Then I acknowledged my sin to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." He confessed, and God was able to use David in unexpected ways. Likewise with Paul in Philippians 3, he wrote, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what was ahead." Again, Paul knew what he'd done. We've read his story and we're aware that God could have held it against him. But Paul knew that he was forgiven and he was a work in progress. He knew that what Jesus had done was necessary for him to forget his past and to move forward in hope. In turn, God used him again to do great things, despite what his past was. Jesus invites us to make that same discovery, to seek him out and ask for forgiveness and receive new life and hope from those things that we have done. God's free gift is available to all who say yes. But we don't keep it just for ourselves. We then need to share it with others, forgive them, and where possible, to seek reconciliation. Even as we seek to forgive ourselves and reconcile with those we have hurt, sometimes it's not possible or our efforts may be rebuffed. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't undertake the process to seek forgiveness from ourselves. We need to make that choice to walk in the light of God's love and ask him to reveal any darkness that we may still harbour. We need to choose to bring that thing to him when he reveals it and leave it there. If we take it back, as we often do, don't hold on to it. Return them to God. Jesus offers us a new life in him that is free of our past failings and the hurts caused by others. Which brings me to the reading from John's Gospel. Jesus talks about himself as bread, the bread of life. Bread being something that is available to all, it is a staple of life, it's affordable, and it's something pretty much found in most cultures. I know in Asia it's rice rather than the grains we have, but every people group has something that they can relate to when we have this image. Bread is something that keeps us nourished and our bodies functioning. If bread is all we have, then we can keep going. And Jesus calls himself the bread of life. For sometimes he is the only thing that can keep us going. But I want just to use our imaginations for a bit and invite you to think one step further when we think about Jesus and forgiveness. Friends, God gave his only son to die for us and make the way for us to be reconciled and to have hope for the future and a relationship with him. God gave us his very best. He didn't hold anything back. So we know that there are different types of bread. Depending on what flours we use, they also come in different shapes. There's different rising agents used, different crusts and sometimes even different toppings. But I think we'd all agree that when we've tried a very fresh, very light, tasty, well-baked slice of crusty bread, you would not then be happy to be offered a hard, stale rock bun. And that's what we so often do. When we come to Jesus and say yes, why would we want to hang on to the things of our past that only keep us trapped and robbed of life? When we've been given and shown God's very, very best, why do we want to choose anything less? Why deny ourselves the joy and freedom that can come from a relationship with Jesus? We look at that light and we come into the light. It's often hard for us to do so. So how might we accept this gift? As we've done in the past weeks, recognising our need for God's forgiveness is a good start. We then need to recognise those things that trap us in shame and guilt, anger and hurt from others. This week, we also add remorse and blame to our list of things that can harbour within us. Friends, as we've heard, none of us is perfect. But each of us need to recognise that we might need to acknowledge that fact. We might need to acknowledge that our actions have hurt others, that our actions might even have caused us to think poorly of ourselves and to reduce our self-worth in our own eyes. When these things are identified, we need to come to Jesus, but keep our eyes firmly on him. Because the guilt we often feel from our past actions may stem from guilt. But can I point out that when we have that relationship with God, those feelings of guilt may actually be a starting point for correction. Because there's only one person that accuses us. He points out the guilt which is false. Things that are not ours to carry, but we do, as he seeks to accuse and condemn us. We need to discern the difference between that guilt that is not ours and actually it belongs to someone else, and the guilt that is. Because feelings of guilt are justified, they can come from a place of correction from God. We can allow Him to start to work in us and help us leave that behind. We need to be wise and seek out God to affirm which of those feelings are real and which feelings are from things that we actually have no control over or no say in. We need to see that God has forgiven us and that we can choose to accept that forgiveness and leave those things with Him and then extend that forgiveness we've received from Him to ourselves. We need to talk to other people we trust sometimes to confirm whether self-condemnation is from God and is justified or if it's not. If we're at fault, then we need to admit it. And often that is the hardest step, but it is the first step to new beginnings. Friends, reconciling yourself with God and also with others is not easy, but He will help us. There's no need to carry around burdens that you don't need to. Life has enough challenges without our taking on extra. The truth is, unless you let go, unless you forgive yourself, and unless you forgive the situations and realise that the situation is over, you can't move forward. I'm not sure if I know Halifax has some boating enthusiasts. Do we have some boating people here? Yes? What happens when you forget to raise the anchor before you move on to a new spot or head for home? Not much. Well, it's the same with us. If you want to move ahead to the life God has planned for us, we need to raise that thing that's keeping us stuck. We need to release those things that hold us back. And self-forgiveness is a big one of those. Are there things that you need to let go of? That you've been carrying around with you that keep you stuck in the past? Or why not start today to unbind those and let them go so that you can step into God's marvellous light, a lightness of spirit and a life of hope and joy? As each week, if you'd like prayer after the service, if something's come up, don't go home without talking to someone. The elders or myself are around, or come down the front and sit, and one of us will keep an eye out and come and chat with you. So as the casserole dish is at the door with some post-it notes, if you'd like to take a step and just write down the name of a person or a situation that you need to acknowledge and seek forgiveness for, or that you might even need to forgive. Sometimes those physical actions are a way for us to start the process and start to let things go. Next week, we're looking at corporate forgiveness, both us as a church, and sometimes there are organisations and things that we still harbour bad feelings for things in the past, and we need to acknowledge that and let go. And then before we have communion, we'll gather up all of those post-it notes and other leaflets that have been dropped in the box. I haven't quite figured out the logistics. I'll have to think about it. I don't think we'll set the place alight, but how to do it so that we're all engaged, but it's still safe. And we'll let them burn, and there will be nothing left. It's as if, looking at it, they're gone. I mean, there is more work to do in the process of forgiveness, but sometimes this physical action can start that process for us. Again, don't put your name on it. I won't look at them. But I will clear the container out so they're not sitting around all week. I'll bring everything back next week. And then we'll, as I said, we'll go through the process of letting it go. Of course, if it's something fairly serious and you need to talk to someone more professional, do reach out to Lifeline or make an appropriate support group, help group for whatever the situation is. But remember that none of us is perfect. And we can help each other, support, encourage, and pray for each other as we journey on this road of forgiveness and into wholeness and life in Christ. Amen. Let's just come now in prayer. Father in heaven, we worship and praise you and your wonderful plan for salvation. We thank you for sending Jesus, who came to earth willingly in human form. so that sinners such as us may be redeemed by his precious blood. And for that we give all praise and glory to you. Lord, shine your light into our lives, revealing those things that we carry unnecessarily. Lord, show what you will. Help us to come with humility to confess and seek forgiveness, and then with the help of your Spirit, help us to forgive ourselves. Help us restore relationships with those we have hurt along the way, and help us to look ahead, and walk in your way, not bound by the past, but by your amazing love, which calls us to walk in the fullness of life. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.